Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we know you are here with us. And so we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercies. Father, even as we thank you for the gift of life, we thank you for the gift of this program that you've endowed this church with, ANAVOC, urging us that the time is now. Even as we seek your face, we pray that you prepare our hearts and let our hearts incline to your word and let your word embolden us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 Beloved the Lord, we are looking at the theme for this month and the VOC, praise and worship and the transformed life. And we focus our reading on Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, 16 to 34, a popular narrative. So it talks about Paul and Silas in prison, and whilst in prison, they ministered to the glory of God, and the unexpected happened to the glory of God. So the first week, we looked at prison as a place of mystery, as a place of misery. And we talk about prison as a place of accusation. They were accused falsely, but they were not disturbed. They never insulted anyone. They never insulted anyone. They never frowned on anyone. But they focused their attention on praise and worship, worshiping the good Lord. We talk about pleasing as a place of arrest. They were arrested. They were accused and they were arrested. And still, they glorify and praise the Lord. They were not only arrested, they were put in a dungeon, filthy dungeon, and even there, they glorified and praised the Lord. Then the second, we look at prison, a place of ministry. A place of ministry. And we said that, even in prison, they took the opportunity to minister to all the other prisoners. As they were singing, as they were praising God, they were listening, including the jailer. They ministered to the Lord, and the Lord worked wonders. We also talked about prison, a place of majesty. Majesty. The other prisoners experienced the majesty of the Lord. Something spectacular happened, and they all marveled through song ministration, praise and worship. We transformed the whole prison. Today, we just go to look at something brief so that we can avail ourselves for the good Lord to anoint us. There are many important questions being asked around the world. Many are asking, when will the economy pick up? The United Nations is asking, what should we do about a nuclear problem in Iran? The whole world is asking, what will be the results of a war in Afghanistan? America is asking, are we safe? Or would there be any terrorist attack on our nation? Everyone is asking questions. But it seems that no one is asking the most important question. In that prison, someone asked the most important question of all. Verse 30 of Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 30. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, referring to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? The most important question of all. A pagan jailer asked the most important question that have ever been uttered in the history of the world. What must I do to be saved? Beloved the Lord, if you look at these verses, you will see that there are some other great questions that a jailer might have asked that night. He might have asked, how did the doors of the prison gate opened? Or why haven't all my prisoners escaped? Or who am I going to blame for this? No. Naturally, he could have asked such questions. Instead, he asked a question that gets to the heart of his problem as an individual. And to the heart of the problem for every person in the entire human race. What must I do to be saved? As we examine this question tonight, I want you to ask that question within your own heart tonight. For a few minutes tonight, stop asking questions about all the things that are happening in your life. And ask yourself the most important question in the world. What must I do to be saved? This passage is loaded. And this question was provoked by fear. This question was provoked by fear. How? How was it provoked by fear? The jailer believed that he was going to die. Under Roman law, a laid down rule that you extend your life. When a prisoner escaped, you will be killed. Under Roman law. So it was fear of his own punishment and death that drove him to the feet of the apostles Paul and Silas that night in Philippi. Beloved Lord, every person who gets saved comes to Jesus by faith. Every person who gets saved comes to Jesus by faith. However, the road that leads them to him may be so different. Some people come to Jesus to escape hell and the wrath of God. That's fine. Others come because they are moved by the cross. Fine. Thank God for whatever he uses in your life to awaken you and to bring you to Jesus. We thank God for that. So, it was provoked by fear. Out of fear, he asked this question. What must I do? Two, it was provoked by faith. It was provoked by faith. This question was provoked by faith. Beloved Lord, it is interesting to note that a jailer did not take the time to secure the prison of the prisoners. His first thought was for his own salvation. His own salvation! I believe that he was interested in saving his soul. You see, beloved Lord, as he lays down in his bed that night to sleep, there were two men in that prison who were engaged in worship and praise. They were engaged in worship and praise. And as they sang songs about Jesus, and no doubt shared the promise of Christ from the word of God, the jailer heard them. Although he was asleep, or he was sleeping in a different room, he heard them. The word of God, the power in the word of God. And his heart was pricked. and he experienced a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening as well as a physical one. Beloved the Lord, faith made this man to give his life to Jesus and to Jesus alone. And that's how salvation begins. For every person, that's how salvation begins. So if you read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, Ephesians 2 verse 1 makes it clear to us. It says they are dead to God and to all he represents. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Then John 16:8 says that through the awakening ministry of the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. All these contributed to strengthen the faith of the jailer. And when you read John chapter 6 verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Beloved of the Lord, God used both the physical, that is fear, and the spiritual, that is faith, to open the hatch of the jailer. And then comes the response to this question. And the response involves a person. The response involves a person. Beloved, Paul points the jailer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is lifted up as the sinner's only hope of salvation. The Bible is clear on that. Acts 4:12, the Bible is clear on that. No one comes to him. There's no other name given to men by which we must be saved. Only Jesus can save. John 14:6, this has scripture readings to strengthen our faith in the Lord. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A very popular narrative. Beloved Lord, I know that we live in a society that seeks to find the good in all religions. And the aspects of all the religious or the religions or religious men appealing to people to embrace their religion. And I also know that there are good people in all religions. And I also concede that all religions produce some good. However, I also know that the only way any person anywhere can ever be saved is by receiving Jesus Christ. By receiving Jesus Christ as his or her savior. It may sound narrow-minded and exclusive to people, but that is just what the Word of God teaches. Jesus is the one who left heaven to be born in human flesh, according to John 1:1-14. He left the heavens. He is the same one who lived a perfect, sinless life whilst on earth. 1 Peter 2:22. 1 Peter 2:22. He's the one who died for you on the cross. Died for you and I on the cross. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. And Revelation 1:5. He's the one who arose from the dead on the third day. Matthew 28:1-6. Matthew 28:1-6. He's the one who ascended back to heaven and now sits on the right hand of God. Hebrews 10:12. It is his blood alone. It is his blood alone that says, 1 Peter 1:18-19. 1 Peter 1:18-19. And it is he. It is he who will return someday to retrieve his people and judge the world. Romans, Revelation 22, 12. Revelation 22, 12. Beloved Lord, you can try any method you please, but only Jesus Christ can save your son, can save your daughter, can save you, can save your husband. Only Jesus Christ. Beloved Lord, for 10 years or more, as an industrial chaplain in Tema, I went around fellowship with the industries and the factories for over 10 years as an industrial chaplain in Tema. And on Tuesdays, I worshipped with the headquarters, the police headquarters in Tema, every Tuesday. Because the industries and the factories are many, so I have to apportion minimum time, just to visit all of them, just to have prayers with them, short exhortation about 5 minutes, and then we pray, and then we leave. But no, any time I visited this particular place, the prison, the police headquarters in Chema, I saw this man, an officer, senior officer. He would come very early, around 6:30. He would come and arrange the chairs and do all the dusting, the sweeping. And I couldn't believe it. Was no, I know the police know the ethics in the for a senior man to come and do this. So it bothers me all the time. So I said, no, one day I will go very early and ask this man the reason why he's doing this. So one day I went around 7:15. And as soon as he finished what he has to do, he will sit down, take his Bible, and then he will start reading, meditating. So I got there very early, but then he has finished all the arrangements and was seated, doing his meditation. So I greeted him, and his wife, so I sat beside him and said, "Sir, I'm surprised. You have genius under you. Why? You come always and say, Osafo, you want me to share my personal testimony with you?" I said, "If it will not be a bother, then forget, but I think I'm prepared to." He said, "Fine." So Osafo, ask. And he mentioned his name. I won't mention it. He said, "Ask everybody. When we talk of apprehending brigands, they will mention me. Even in Ghana, all the regions that I've served. Apprehending, we went on an operation and criminals, hiding criminals. And Osofo, I was being promoted, But Osofo, this particular criminal, anytime we went on errands, and I came face to face with this criminal, and I was just about to apprehend him, he would just lean on the wall, and then that is it. Gone." So far, I couldn't believe it. And he removed his shirt, and what I saw, I was scared. The fortification, all over. He said, "Osofo, I'm well fortified. Well fortified." But this particular person, Osofo, the man would just be smiling at me, and I was starting my incantation. And but Osofo, I went to Benin. I went to Benin for refortification. Hallelujah. We're talking about the name that saves, Jesus. He wasn't a Christian. You talk to him about the Bible? No. It's also from my being. So he went for fortification and he came back. He said, "I came back." We went on operation again, and I came face to face with this man, Osofo. I started my incantation. I was just sprinkling things around, and the man was just standing there, just smiling at me. And I realized that, there's something wrong. Again, as I was about to apprehend him, he just vanished into thin air. Osofo, I was so much disturbed. I was so much disturbed, that I couldn't do anything. And a friend of mine saw that thing, I was so much disturbed. So what is your problem? No, you've not been yourself. For the past 2 weeks, you've not been yourself. What is the problem? I said, this is my problem, boo. And he said, the friend said, oh, but it's very simple. He said, wow. When you come face to face with this man, just say, in the name of Jesus, stay. He said, Lusofu, I nearly slapped him. He said, I nearly slapped him. Just that. We're talking about, you know, going to places. For the case you're talking about, just. So he's just brushing aside. And lo and behold, he has to go again for another operation. He said, he came face to face with this man. He did all the incantation. And the man was just standing there smiling at him. Then he said something, beloved the Lord, which I think all Christians we should embrace. He said, let me give it a trial. Let me give it a trial. So what's the pastor? Well, so it says it dawned on him. That, hey, my friend said something. That's when we meet this man, say, in the name of Jesus, stay. So he said, well, I don't believe in that, but let me give it a trial. The Bible says, all test and see how gracious the Lord is. You've not tested and you are complaining. You've not tested the soup and you are complaining, oh, there's too much salt. It's too salty. You are there, you've not tested the soup. He said, no. When he said it, I said, wow. That's what the Bible says. Oh, taste and see. And you see how gracious the Lord is. So he said, wow, let me taste and see. In the name of Jesus, stay. Hey, man, I said, in the name of Jesus, stay. But all this while, he said, he would just take one step. Just the name, just still, you know, with the words. In the name of Jesus, stay. And bam, he apprehended him. He said, so for, boom, I apprehended him. And I said, from that day, that I will serve this Jesus. I will sacrifice for this Jesus. Whatever be the case, I will die for this Jesus. So, what I'm doing here is not enough. It's not enough. I've warned everybody that this is my ministry. This is my ministry to serve the Lord. He's now a pastor in Committee 7. He writes to me, he calls me. It's not a pastor in Committee 7. The name of Jesus saves. The name of Jesus embodies. I always say this. The name of Jesus refreshes the soul. It heals. And that's the Jesus we serve, beloved in the Lord. That's the Jesus we serve. As I said, I will not waste much time. Just to summarize it, this topic, and then we move into the anointing service. I'm just saying this to encourage you. To encourage you that, you know, someone said, what must I do to be saved? Receive the Lord Jesus. That's what receive the Lord Jesus. And he received the Lord Jesus. And he welcomed them. This man served them. After receiving the Lord Jesus, he went down, Bible says, he nursed their wounds. He served them. He served them. This man met Jesus Christ face to face. This police officer. And he purposed in his heart to serve him all the days of his life. I believe you've encountered Jesus in your life. If you were to give testimony here now, we shall leave this place. How you encountered Jesus Christ personally. How he healed you. How he soothed your sorrows. How he encouraged you to go on in life, to move on in life. We'll give countless testimonies to his greater glory. That is the Lord we serve. The Bible says the jailer rejoiced. He rejoiced, filled with happiness. He rejoiced. And that led him to service. And was satisfied. And his entire household got baptized. They gave their lives to the Lord. It led to salvation. It led to salvation. Beloved the Lord, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. He's the changeless God. And anyone who embraces this person, Jesus, your life will never be the same. Beloved the Lord, we talk about anointing. Anointing. And someone may ask, why anointing? Anointing is biblical. Let me give you some few scripture readings. Exodus 30, 31 to 32. Just go for your own, because when you go, just read. So I just want to clear the doubts in your mind if you are doubting anointing. It is biblical, it is powerful, it is a sacrament. Exodus 30, 31 and 32. 31 to 32. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Mark 6, 12. Mark 6, 12. And permit me to read just two scripture readings. Mark 6 and verse 12. So Mark 6 and verse 12 says, they went out and preached that people should repent. Then 13 says, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Then the popular narrative, which we all know, James chapter 5 from verse 13. James 5 from verse 13. And that tells you that it's a sacrament. Is any one of you in trouble? You should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Let's go on. Let's move on to 13. Is any one of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Beloved, about anointing, oil is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. So when you come for anointing, don't look at the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit anointing you? Is the Holy Spirit doing his work in you, in your life? So oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, unless you're born again with water. Dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So as you come for the Lord to anoint you, it is the Holy Spirit anointing you. Now, you know, people say that, you know, in the mainline churches, you know, we don't see anointing. But anointing started from the mainline churches. It started from the mainline churches. But the only thing is that because it is a sacrament, you know, when it comes to the Anglicans and the Roman Catholics, it's a sacrament. It is not administered anyhow. So at baptism, it is administered. Confirmation, it is administered. Ordination of priests, it is administered. Consecration of a bishop, it is administered. Consecration of a church, the altar is anointed. So we don't know that a sacrament is not administered anyhow. Beloved the Lord, today the Lord is going to anoint us. Now, let me share just three testimonies about anointing. This anointing that we talk about. And that the oil that I'm going to use is called the oil of chrism. And chrism in Greek simply means anointing oil. So, the oil of chrism. And in the Anglican tradition, only the bishop, the chief shepherd, blesses oil. And he blesses oil once every year. The Thursday before Good Friday, he blesses this oil in the morning. So you bring your oil and the bishop will bless it. Now, if you have the oil and you're using the oil and it's getting finished, it's running out, you can purchase another oil, just mix it, and the potency will still be there. You know, that is a belief. And that's the oil that I'm going to use. Now, to share just three quick testimonies of this oil. The first one, I shared that with you, I think last year, Easter Sunday, when I got crippled. For about 6 months, I was crippled. I couldn't walk. I did all the tests, MRI tests, thrombosis, and what have you. I went for acupuncture treatment for about 2 months, very expensive. Then I said to myself, fine, I've tried those in the healing ministry. I've tried doctors, and they're in the healing ministry. I've tried it. And that's proving clearly that I have no case. Fine, you sickness, get ready. I will fight you spiritually. I will fight you now spiritually. So if the oil, this oil of Christian, I have to buy Noboy soil, just be seeing it out. Every morning, afternoon, evening, I'll recite the Psalm 118, verse 17 and 18. The right hand of the Lord has the preeminence. The right hand of the Lord bringeth mighty things to pass. I shall not die but live and declare the glory of the Lord. Then after that, I'll start smelling myself with the oil. Morning, afternoon, evening. The right hand of the Lord bringeth mighty things to pass. The right hand of the Lord has the preeminence. I shall not die, but live and declare the glory of the Lord. So I started. That's what I've started. That is it. And the day that we were supposed to dedicate the church, Christ the King, the day, I was still using crutches. Well, the week before, I left one of the crutches and I was just sleeping. 3 days later, the other one. So I was still limping. But I couldn't wear anything. But the night before the D-Day, this was on Saturday. So Friday, we left the church. We have to do the final touches. So we left the church around 11:15 p.m. So we went to bed. Then I had a dream. And whenever I share this testimony, I ask myself, was it a dream or a trance? Because I saw the thing clearly. I saw the ceremony going on. And I was in my cope, that big thing, cope. And I was just, I was walking briskly. And I said, hey. So I saw it. And I was like, hey, let me see what he's wearing. So in the dream, I said, hey, let me see what this man is wearing. And the sandals, it was a sandals that I've forgotten. I didn't even think when I was being transferred from Tema to Sakumono. I saw myself wearing that. And I said, hey. And then I woke from sleep. Then I called my wife and said, hey, I saw myself. The thing going on. I saw myself walking, running. So what I said, and I was wearing these sandals. Can you help me find these sandals and come and see? We scattered the whole house. Because after, and then we were able to get one of the right leg. And quickly I put my leg. I said, hey, sweetheart, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. So he said, start hopping. Hop. So I started hopping. I said, I don't feel anything. Hey, let's look for the other one. And we were just searching. We couldn't find it. 30 minutes to the time. So I just I was wearing something that so when I removed the right one, I was feeling it. I was still feeling it. I couldn't walk. So I removed it. I have to remove it and I couldn't walk. So I went to the vestry. The bishop was there and I said, dude, I have to go and pick something. I said, Your Grace, just give me, it was a certain jacket. And when I opened the door, the other leg was just there. It was just the other was just there. As soon as I opened the door, it was like welcoming me. And quickly, I called my wife. Hey, bye. Nana Dufia, come. Nana Dufia, come. So, for the church members were worried. Why is he standing there and calling me, the wife? Nana Dufia, come. So she came. Says, look at the other leg. And I put my legs in it. Hey. I could run. I could jump. And I said, Jesus Christ, the power of the anointing. The power of the anointing. You joke with it. Unless you don't believe in it. The second one. Someone asked me to come and then dedicate the house, a new house, Comte 11, a new house. I was invited in Chema. So I prepared my elements, the oil, everything in the Bible. And And as soon as I entered the house, just as I entered, I saw this strange face. And the face was very, very hostile to me. So I said, what is it? A young girl. I entered. And I realized that all along, she was avoiding me. But I was my cassock, I was holding there. So I asked the landlord, the owner of the house, who is this? He said, that's our new house help. We just brought her from the village today. I said, I see, fine. But please, I just want to plead with you. Make sure you intensify your morning devotions and make sure you involve her, please. Make sure. Is there anything? I said, no. Just make sure your morning devotions, you tell them, involve her. That is it. So I did all the dedication, the rooms, and she never opened her room. How those like busybody, so she never opened the room. Fine, but I dedicated all the rooms. They opened all the rooms, and then I went to the swimming pool. I dedicated and anointed the swimming pool, and I left. 5:15 a.m. The owner of the house called me. Hey, father, come. I said, what is it? Father, come. So whatever. So I quickly went to the bathroom, freshen up, and I got there. He was waiting for me at the gate. So he says, father, come and see. In the swimming pool, this maid was lying in the swimming pool naked, dead. Naked, dead. She was dead and she was naked, lying in the swimming pool. So he turned himself and I said, let us thank God. I don't know whether she was flying out or she was flying back. But all I know is that the fire, the spirit of the Lord. Bah! That's all that I can tell you, man. Let us thank God. All that I have to tell you about flying over the swimming pool and the fire of the anointing. Bam, bam. That is it. So I told him, don't wake the children up. Let them don't wake them up. So we quickly went to come to the 8th police station. We went to the police station. We came. They opened the water. No, from the dent. No, the body was taken out. The third testimony about the power of the anointing. Unless you don't believe it. Again, I was at home, and this parishioner called me. Usof, we have a problem. He's got 3 daughters, 7, 5, and 3. 3 daughters. He said, Osofu, I don't understand this. This is a new house that we just moved in. And every evening, between 8 and 9, my children will start complaining. Hey, I've seen a rat. I've seen a cockroach. And so for this, we've fumigated the house. But still. I said, is that so? But you don't see it. You've never seen it before. So we don't see it. But only these children. We are well worried. We are disturbed. I said, okay. I'll come to the house at 8 p.m. So we tell them, and I'll come and dedicate the whole house. Anoint the whole house. I said, okay, I will wait for you. So 8 p.m. sharp, I was there in my elements, in my oil and my the same oil of chrism. So I said the prayers. They came out. I said the prayers. I dedicated the whole rooms. Anointed all the rooms. Anointed the outside. No, I anointed even the boys quarters. Anointed every place. Again, around 5:15, I said they have to open the doors in the morning. So when they opened the living room, when they opened the door, they saw 10 big rats and 15 cockroaches, big ones, gathered together, dead, all gathered together at one place, like whether they're having crusade or what have you, one place. She said, this is what I said, thank God, that is your deliverance, that is the power of the anointing. You have some of the anointing oil there, I gave you some, say yes, pour it over them, and call the house boy to take a shovel. Let's take the outside and burn them. And up to now, the children have never set eyes on any rat or any cockroach. To the glory of God. The power of the anointing! Unless you don't believe it. Beloved the Lord, what we're going to do tonight is this. Don't sit there and look at the figure standing here. Oh, I was awful Nelson. He hasn't got the healing for deliverance. I'm not delivering you. Just get it. I'm being used as a vessel, as a channel of blessing to you. And that's what I'm going to do. I don't have anything with me. I'm just being used as the Lord's servant to bring his blessing to you. So all that I expect from you, is that as you come, make a wish. In faith, God, it is my prayer that after receiving this anointing, you do this for me. Through this anointing, make a wish. And believe in it. Not just believe in it. Because if you have belief, when you talk of a sacrament has two forms. The outward sign and then the invisible sign. It's a sacrament. And that's what we're going to do. I'm going to administer the sacrament of anointing. And it's in two forms. For a miracle to take place, it depends on your faith. You, the recipient, your faith, and then what I will administer. So when it comes together, a miracle will happen. So it depends on your faith as you walk through the aisle to receive this anointing. I want you to avail yourself. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit prepare you for your own healing. So all that I'm going to do is that when I anoint you in the name of Jesus, in the Trinity, receive your healing and receive the grace and favor of the Lord. That's all that I'm going to say. So as you come, and I sign you with a cross on the forehead in the name of the triune God, all that I will say is that receive your healing and the grace and favor of the Lord. Amen. And then you go and sit down. That's all. It will depend on your faith as you come. Your faith. So as you come, be praying. The band will be giving us some soft worship songs as we come. The soft worship songs. And as you come, beloved the Lord, I want you to make a wish. Whatever be your problem, whatever be your worry, whatever is eating you up, the Lord is here to do something special in your life. Unless you don't believe it. So it depends on you. The good Lord is going to use me to anoint you for a sacrament to take place, for healing, deliverance to take place, will depend on your faith. So we're going to start with the gospel group because they will be leading us. After that, the evangelism group, because they have to help me. The evangelism group will help me in terms of any ministration. They can handle it. And then science persons will start from the back. So please don't go away. As I said, we'll wait within time. Just receive your healing. Receive your power. Receive your Holy Spirit refreshing. And then thank God for that. Shall we pray? Please stand as we have a word of prayer. Susum brava yewe juma. Susum brava yewe juma. Susum brava yewe juma. Susum wavoe. Susum brava yewe juma. Susum brava yewe juma. No. Father God, we call upon you tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, here we are. As naked as we are, we can do nothing on our own. Father, we are here to seek your Holy Spirit empowerment. We are here to seek your healing. We are here to seek your favor. We are here to seek your grace. Father, we cannot do without you. And that's why we are here, awaiting to receive your healing, awaiting to receive your anointing from above. Father, prepare us. Father, prepare us in spirit and in body. Father, we pray that you increase our faith now. Increase our faith now in the power of your anointing. Father God, I pray that no one will leave this place the same.
Amen.
We will leave this place in the power of your Holy Spirit, refreshing in the power of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That you've touched us.
Yes.
That you've touched us.
Yes.
That you've touched us.
Yes.
Father, touch us.
Amen.
Touch us through your anointing.
Yes, Lord.
Touch us through your anointing.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We pray with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Please sit.